The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
The Sunday Grill, you are listening to Beat, and we are counting down those days to Christmas Day. And probably my favourite part about it, the food. And for a lot of people, the best thing about the food is the Christmas sandwich in the evening time. Well, Julie Byrne from High Horse Coffee in County Waterford joins me this morning. She'll tell us a little bit about their coffee shop in a minute, because it's quite unusual and they do a brilliant Christmas sandwich. So we said we'd have to bring her in and she's going to give us some of her secrets. Is that all right to give us some
Absolutely,
of your secrets?
Absolutely, Orla. I'll give them all away, girl.
Now, I have had so many Christmas sandwiches, to tell you the truth, Julie, because I am... If I see it on the menu at this time of year, I have to have it. I've had some terrible ones. I've had some amazing ones. I've had your one at High Horse Coffee out in the Waterford Airport Business Park there. Tell us a little bit about your coffee shop before we start, because it's quite unusual, isn't it?
So we started, we're actually out in the Airport Business Park 4 years now since this November. And what started as a little container coffee shop kind of progressed into a lovely shelter, converted Tesco shopping trolley bay, which actually works great. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Exactly.
And we also have a double-decker bus as seating. So it's kind of a little fun, quirky, something different. Families absolutely love it. Kids absolutely love it. It's just such a little novelty. And we've created such a lovely kind of welcoming, fun, just happy little place out there. It really, really is like our happy place out there.
And so slowly but surely you got to the trolley bay and then the bus.
Yes.
So you bought a bus, did you?
It's actually, well, we have to thank our landlords, in fairness to that. The Griffins, a lot of people probably would know Niall Power Griffin. They have been so, so good to us. So we were looking for some kind of seating, indoor seating, and they actually sourced it for us. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. So they were amazing.
Well, it's a great thing to see in the business park as well. And people travel to the business park to have the food there. They're not just working there.
That's
no, we've
it.
Driven out as well from the
broadcast
centre.
It's starting to get obviously a little bit of a buzz, which is really, really nice. And we have our regulars as well, which we really, really appreciate. But it's a lovely little buzz out there. It's lovely to work out there.
Well, have a look at their Instagram. It's High Horse Coffee, and you'll see some of the stuff that they're doing at Christmas time. We're going to talk about the Christmas sandwich and what you put into it, Julie. But you also do a dirty festive fries.
We do.
It even has the Brussels sprouts in it, doesn't it?
It does. Controversial.
I love a Brussels sprout. Love them. So these are homemade chips, would you say? And the stuffing.
So we make our own stuffing. So like they're hand cut wedges with parmesan and rosemary. So they're kind of lovely oven roasted. Then we have our house made sage and onion stuffing, which we do put a lot into. Like it's a really, really special kind of recipe that we have. Then what else is there? Oh yeah, the pièce de résistance, the baked ham. That was so,
you make that yourselves,
so fresh baked ham, honey glazed with honey and Dijon mustard. What else is there? Oh my god, there's like everything. Caramelized onion, obviously cranberry sauce,
and
crispy
is that doing
Brussels
well for
sprouts.
You?
Yeah, now we tend to have it as specials.
Okay.
So people literally wait all year for this, which is fun. So we'll have it next week as well.
Okay.
So we actually have it on Thursdays usually, which is
okay.
Special,
yeah, I see it here on your Instagram. This Thursdays only, it says here.
Yeah.
So advanced notice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we talk the Christmas sandwich.
Christmas sandwich.
As I said, they're everywhere now, aren't they?
They are. Like every time you open your Instagram, your TikTok, all you see is like this lovely gravy oozing all over sandwiches.
And gravy is such a new thing for the Christmas sandwich. A little bit of gravy on the side. And you do something a little bit differently, don't you?
Yeah. So what we would do is a gravy mayo.
Okay. So you're smothering it on the sandwich itself.
Smothering it all in the sandwich. It's all oozing into your stuffing and your... It's really, really good.
So you said you're going to give us the recipe for
Absolutely.
That, which would be fab. But before you do that, tell us what you put in your Christmas sandwich. Like, is the bread important, for example?
The bread, we'd use a sourdough pan.
Okay.
Now, it's not your typical sourdough loaf.
Yeah, sourdough can be quite hard for a Christmas sandwich.
It can. So we use a sourdough pan, and that's toasted then, and we have our stuffing that we make ourselves, like I said. We're actually probably cheating a little bit in that we actually use chicken in our toasty, just because I think the moisture of the chicken is that little bit more That's mm-hmm. controversial now.
No, I think you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do a chicken stuffing. What else is in it?
Ham, oh, yeah. Is there ham in it?
We have streaky bacon.
Streaky bacon, perfect.
And then we have our gravy mayo and our cranberry sauce and a nice bit of rich cheddar then in there just to have that
lovely
melty cheese aspect.
Fab. Yeah. Any vegetables or anything in it?
No veggies okay. in it, bar your onions in your sage and onion stuffing.
Okay, yeah. Because I had a Christmas sandwich quite recently in my hometown in Gorey and had Brussels sprouts in it. And they were phenomenal in it.
I like that idea.
They were amazing. Yeah. But I love Brussels sprouts. Like, my partner would be like, I'm not eating that.
See, some people are
them.
So against them.
Yeah.
And I've seen some amazing local businesses around Waterford actually that have had them as well.
Yeah.
That's one thing I want to shout out as well. If we could do the 12 pubs of Christmas, we can absolutely do
totally.
The 12 Christmas sandwiches of Christmas.
Definitely.
There's so many amazing local, small, yeah. independent
yeah.
businesses.
In Waterford and
around
the region.
And it would be so much
well.
Fun just to,
that's
to
such
try
a good
every
idea.
Sandwich. Yeah.
Do the different Christmas. I would do that.
Yeah, so would I.
Sure. Tell us about then. And do you think the cheese is important, actually? I put a bit of brie into my yeah. sandwiches as well on Christmas night. I love that.
I love a bit of brie. Mm. I do. It's. I suppose we're trying to cater to the masses because uh-huh. not everybody loves the brie.
Yeah, but
you
know, do you think cheese
I do.
In particular is
I
important
do.
In the sandwich?
Just to have that, for me, what's a toastie without cheese?
Mm-hmm,
do
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? You
yeah.
have to have that kind of oozy effect. We will be doing a Christmas burger, which
okay.
will have your lovely brie and stuff oh, like yeah. that in it next week. All right,
gorgeous.
But yeah. A bit of cheese and a toastie.
Lovely. Okay, talk us through your mayo gravy then.
Okay, hold on now. I have my recipe here. So this is privileged
oh, great.
Information.
The exact quantity.
So for example, if you were wanting to make maybe 6 sambos,
okay.
throw your ham, your turkey, your leftovers in it mm. on Christmas night or the day after. So it's really, really handy to make everything you'll probably have in your fridge or your
okay.
cupboard as it is. So 1 decent cup of mayo.
Okay.
About 7 to 8 tablespoons of cooled gravy.
Okay.
That's if you have any left over,
yeah.
which is probably highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you can just whiz a little bit of gravy yourself.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
the instant is absolutely fine.
Okay. And a cup
leave it
is,
cool.
just for people to use a cup, that's about 250 milliliters,
exactly.
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So then if you have a little bit of apple cider vinegar, it just
yeah.
gives a little bit of zing and brightness
okay.
in it. If you don't, you don't have to put that
okay.
in. You could substitute with white wine vinegar, red wine vinegar, but it's not necessary.
Okay, but so not vinegar vinegar.
Not vinegar vinegar.
Okay, too
yeah.
sharp.
So 1 little teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard,
okay,
again,
yeah,
optional,
lovely.
But it gives a nice little punch.
Yum.
And then about 1/2 teaspoon of cracked black pepper, and you can kind of season with salt if you need it.
Okay.
And that's it. It's actually super simple.
And mix it up.
Mix it all
and then
together.
Just use it as a spread.
Dollop it all over your like your sambos, your
Yum.
Bit of toast, and put in
Gorgeous.
Your ham, and yeah it's so,
Yum.
So nice.
Wow, fab. Now, crisps.
Oh, crisps.
Do you need a side of crisps on Christmas night when you're making up your Christmas sandwich?
100%. 100%.
A tato or a king?
Oh, now this is up for debate now because I am a tato girly.
Me too.
But my husband Sean is a king crisp.
He's a king crisp man.
Girly. No, he's not. No,
he can be.
He can be, yeah. So we have to actually put 2 boxes of crisps under the Christmas tree.
Wow.
So a tato box for me and then a king crisp
okay.
box for
and
Sean.
And he's slyly opening that box on like the 10th of December.
Oh, 100%. It's open.
Package. Yeah.
It's open.
Of course
open.
It is.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
every other house.
Yeah.
Julie, thank you so much for all that
so
advice.
Welcome.
I will be out for both your sandwich very soon 100%. And High Horse Coffee in the Waterford Business Park, but also those festive dirty fries, which are Thursdays. You're doing those as
Thursdays,
a
yeah.
Good
yeah.
stuff. Enjoy your Christmas. I'm
Orla,
sure you're very
you.
Busy at the moment. So, are you taking a break over Christmas?
We are off. I think we're closing the Monday just before on Christmas week, and then we may be back on the 5th.
Wow,
so, we're
okay.
taking a really
yeah, no
nice, well needed
well
break.
Deserved, well
yeah,
deserved.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
you want to check out High Horse on Instagram, just look for High Horse Coffee, and you'll see the double decker bus there and all the food that they do as well, and the coffee as well. That is Julie Byrne, and she is the co owner of High Horse Coffee in Waterford. Thanks a million for joining
Thank
me.
You.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Apple on Beat 102-103.
Well, now for something completely un-Christmassy. Well, it depends on what you like to do at Christmas. And an adult-only circus is coming to Waterford this coming Friday. and Saturday night. If you fancy stepping into the realm of danger and excitement even, then Devour the Night might be for you. So what is an adult circus and what can we expect? Well, one half of the real life couple who organise and perform the events joins me on the Sunday Grill with more details. Her name is Megan and she is a Southeast woman from Waterford. So coming home with your circus, aren't you, Megan?
I am indeed, yes.
How does that feel? Have you done it before here?
No, it's not. So we started off the show the start of this year and we actually went to Kilkenny and Wexford. Okay. So we said for Christmas, let's bring it home to where we're from, Waterford, because you know the Waterford people love entertainment, really.
They really do. Yeah. And is your partner Kitty from Waterford as well?
She's not. She's actually Welsh.
Ah, okay. So, and this is a real chance to be home for a few days at Christmas for you with your family and everything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually living at home. I live in Waterford myself at the moment.
Brilliant.
And then I just travel about with the shows, but I always come back to Waterford, my base. So it's kind of nice to have to be home, promoting my show here back in my hometown.
Excellent. So you're going to be in the Big Top Tent across from the People's Park in Waterford City next Friday and Saturday, as we explained. It's an over 18s event. It is an adult circus called Devour the Night. Explain what you mean by adult circus.
Yeah, so when people think adult, I think they're thinking their brains go straight to maybe a burlesque and cabaret kind of style. But we are targeting more traditional circus. So Devour the Night has all the elements like you had growing up, your popcorn, candy floss, lights, smell of sawdust, with the exception there's just a little bit more danger. The costumes are a little bit kind of sexier and the jokes maybe just a little bit more risque, and there's no kids there.
Okay.
So you get to bring your pals, you know, your partner, your girls' night out, whatever you want, do your 12 pubs, stop off.
Brilliant,
you know,
stuff.
So,
yeah. And I saw a bullwhip in some of the photos.
Yes, that's me, actually. That's my act.
Okay.
So everyone has their own acts. So, for example, you'll see knife throwers, fire, contortionists. Okay. You have aerialists. My own act with my partner, we do target bull whipping and knife throwing. So that would involve Kitty would hold real roses in her mouth and I would target crack them from her mouth. So you'll see kind of roses exploding on the stage. So a lot of like kind of more danger acts going on here at the adult circus.
Wow. And like, how did this all start for you then?
So for me, I actually went over to the UK and I went to a circus school for 2 years.
Cool.
And I took my skills and I came back to Ireland and I toured a little with some of your family friendly traditional circus you would have heard of in Ireland.
Okay. And what did you do with them?
So I did my bullwhips. I did my bullwhip act there. And I also did a little bit of cabaret on the side. And I thought to myself, do you know what Ireland is missing? Something that merges both of those things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because there is stuff like that in the UK. They have some adult circuses around, but Ireland doesn't have anything really like that. So we thought, let's bring that around. Let's tour it around Ireland, see what the people like. So.
And it's relatively new for you, is it, to tour it around Ireland?
It is relatively new. So we brought it to Wexford in April and it sold out. And we brought it to Kilkenny then in September, sold out again. And now we've brought it to Waterford.
Brilliant.
We brought two shows here to Waterford because lots of people of Waterford population here. They deserve to.
And why a circus? Why train for the circus for 2 years? What attracted you to that?
I guess I was always a fan growing up, going and watching performances, not even just circus-based, but, you know, going to theatre and everything like that. And I thought, you know what, that looks really, really cool. And when you see something you want to do, you just, you know, sometimes you've got to take that risk. And that's what I did. And thankfully, I just fell in love with it. And I thought, how can I make this more of a career? Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of path we're on at the moment, kind of finding a little niche in the market and rolling with this. And we thought, you know, we'll give it a test and see how the Irish people like it. And so far, we've got a really great response.
Brilliant. And then did you kind of, what would you say, almost make your major skill the bullwhip while you were at circus school?
I did, yeah. I trained, I kind of self-taught myself that, to be honest, because I trained in aerial and acrobatics at circus school, kind of the more well-known things. And it was a similar experience in the sense of I seen it, I liked it, I said I'm going to learn that. And then my partner, Kitty, she does the knife throwing. So she'll knife throw and I'll hold props and she'll target props at me. And so we kind of have a danger act going together. That's kind of what we perform in.
Okay. And what have people's reactions been like in Wexford and Kilkenny to the show?
They've loved it. They've absolutely loved it. And they've constantly said, is there any more shows? Are you coming back? And I mean, that's what we love to hear as producers. You know, we love to hear that people are loving it and they're enjoying it. And they just, people are saying to us, there's nothing like this around, which is great to hear because we love doing it. Yeah. So if we can do more of this, and the only way we can do it is if people come out, see the show, support the show. And in return, we can come back again, which we love to do. So we try to make the tickets super affordable. Tickets are like €22. And we have our ringside seats as well, which are 25, I believe, which are sold out at the moment. But we've plenty of general seats left for the 19th and 20th.
Brilliant. And it's December. At 8:30 on the Friday and Saturday of
it
this
is,
week.
Yeah.
Across so from the People's Park.
And exactly.
Are there traditional parts of circus in it as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have the complete layout you would see in a circus. Starts with your opening number. We have acts. We have a ring mistress. We have the candy floss stalls getting made there in front of you. All the traditional bits of the circus. The only difference is there's just no kids in this one.
Okay.
You know, so
I think when people hear adult only, they kind of get connotations of a really sexy night or something. Do you know what I mean?
They do, yeah.
Where it's more than that.
Yeah. It is totally more than that. Yeah, like, of course, there's going to be some tongue-in-cheek adult humour, but we're not a burlesque show, you know,
okay.
So
yeah.
we're completely different. We are your traditional circus. We're just a little bit more for adults, you know what I mean? Adult humour. So,
and
you know,
it's a bit, well, I would be looking away when you're bullwhipping roses out of someone's hands, but is there a bit of that as well, that enjoyment of making people in the audience squirm?
Oh, 100%. Like, we get a little bit desensitized as artists, I think, you know, and we're all specialized in our own areas. So I will look at one of my other artist friends and think, oh my gosh, how do you do that? They would say the same to me.
Okay.
And because we get very desensitized, you know, because we train so much to perfect these skills and this craft that we have to ask each other, hey, does this still look dangerous? You know, because we feel a little bit safe in there. You have to get to a point where you feel safe.
Yes.
Or as safe as you can.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me, for people who are always asking this these days, how long is the show itself?
Yeah, so we'll be finished all before 10:30. So doors are at 8, show starts at 8:30, and we should be finished all by 10, quarter past 10.
Okay,
just in time to hit up the pubs after if you fancy that.
And are you in a lot of the show then, yourself and Kitty?
Yeah, so behind the scenes, we're doing everything ourselves. We're promoting the music. We do the, you know, hiring and we do all those bits. But in the show itself, we're in it. And then, yeah, then I'll go behind and I'll be doing all the sound technician stuff. And Kitty will be doing all the stage managing stuff. So, yeah, we're pretty much in the show throughout. But performing, we'll be in the start. Yeah.
And there's other people in the performances as well.
Oh, absolutely. We've loads of acts. We've people from all over the world here. So we have Fire. We have Motorbikes in the Globe. We've Contortionists, Aerialists, and a ring mistress, of course, Bonnie, who's a local to Waterford.
Oh, yes,
as well,
of course. Yeah.
And she's very, very funny. So our ring mistress is, I suppose you say, a mix of traditional and non-traditional. You won't see anything like Bonnie.
Sounds fab. You have an Instagram page. It's called Devour the Night, if you want to get more details. And it's probably a great place to head to as well, because you'll really get a sense of how circusy, but for adults, Devour the Night is. And if you fancy heading there, it's on Friday and Saturday of this week. And there's a link to tickets as well on that Instagram page. It's Devour the Night. Megan, thanks a million for joining me. And best of luck with that homecoming event for two nights in Waterford City, that adults-only circus called Devour the Night.
Thank you so much.
And have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you so much. Bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
You're listening to Beat. It is the Sunday Grill. Let's talk Christmas, because it can be a wonderful time of year for many, of course, but it can also be lonely and cause stress and burnout for people too. But fear not. Dr. Mark Rowe has some tips for getting you through the Yuletide and out the other side renewed rather than exhausted. And it's lovely to talk to you again, Dr. Mark.
You too, Orla. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Long time no chat.
It's been a while, Orla. In fact, I was just thinking ahead of this interview. If I recall correctly, the last time we spoke, I gave you a challenge.
You did.
And how did you get on? Because you were supposed to get back to me, as far as I remember.
This was to practice gratitude every morning. Even the smallest of things are things that I'm, what was it, thing? I am so happy because, or something it was. No, Mark, as you can imagine by my stumbling over my words there, Mark, I did that for 2 days and then stopped. What is that about?
It shows you're human like all the rest of us.
And how do we get into a habit, Mark, though? Even well, and is it the 21-day rule? What do we need to do? Oh, okay.
No, it's why I say never stop starting. You know, making this idea of making 21-day changes, it's completely oversold. And
okay.
It just puts people under even more pressure when they inevitably fall flat on their faces 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, well, true.
Really, change all starts on the inside, Orla, really knowing why you want to make a change.
Okay.
You know, what value does it connect with? And really, it's really answering two questions for yourself. Firstly, how important is it, the change?
Okay.
And you really need to be honest and say, is this something that's important for me? And if you can score that as being higher than 7 out of 10, then you're more likely to be successful. So to increase that score, you need to understand the importance of it, the benefits, know the benefits for yourself. But then secondly, and equally importantly, how confident are you that you can make the change?
Okay, and that's again, interesting.
It is. And confidence is about often having a plan in place, a realistic, achievable plan that has support. Because, you know, we do best when we have our own community around us, or at least if we have one good friend who can act as a sort of accountability partner, somebody who can encourage us and support us and maybe give us a bit of a kick in the backside at times too.
Okay.
If we need that. But, you know, really knowing why it's important and being confident that you can achieve it. And really that comes back to making the change you want to make the smallest possible thing you can do.
Okay.
To move in the direction of the person you want to become. So instead of thinking of these big, grandiose type changes.
Like New Year's Day type things we say to ourselves.
All that type of noise that inevitably just ends in, you know, self-recriminating guilt and so on. What's the tiniest thing you can do?
Okay.
In other words, instead of saying I'm going to go to the gym every day, well, could I walk for 5 or 10 minutes every day and build up from there?
Exactly.
And then celebrate your success.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
And build
more
from there.
Like my gratitude promise, I'm going to do that.
Well, you know, we spoke before about how, what a beautiful idea the habit and the emotion of gratitude is. And of course, it's not possible to feel grateful all the time because our brain is hardwired for stress and for
disaster,
anxiety and fear detection.
Mm-hmm.
But expressing gratitude can be a wonderful way not to eliminate worries or problems, but to dampen them down and move you back into your heart, into a place of abundance.
Brilliant.
And actually, the latest evidence is simply doing it once a week. Forget about the once a day. Just doing it once a week for 5 or 10 minutes is enough to significantly enhance your well-being and reduce
really
feelings of worry.
Great. Yeah. And that is one of your simple actions to maintain well-being over this festive period, to try and practice gratitude and to start the day with gratitude. You also say we should manage our mindset over Christmas, because like we're saying from the start, Christmas can be very stressful for lots of different reasons. It could be anything from being the person who is in charge of everything that happens in the house to even being someone who doesn't really enjoy Christmas, or Christmas doesn't live up to the expectations that are very much put on us. But you think our mindset is very important in this case.
Well, it's important for everything. How we choose to see things in the world has a large impact on our lived perception of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mindset is very important for gratitude too, in terms of appreciation. And what I mean by that, Orla, is appreciating others, appreciating the other people in your life.
Okay.
Who are there for you, who are good to you, your friends, your family, actively appreciating them. Through, you know, the gift of your time, through the gift of positive conversations, through actually thanking people, taking the time to thank people who've been good to you, and choosing to get on the front foot yourself and being a kinder person.
Okay.
Because I suppose that's really the spirit of Christmas, isn't it? About,
yeah, it is. You know, easier said than giving, done, I suppose, when you're giving a bit cynical and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
of course. Yeah.
And the whole material message is, you know, it's everywhere, but really it's it's empty, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
At a certain level, it's the fulfillment and joy of Christmas is about giving mm-hmm. your time and giving to others.
Yeah.
In small tangible ways.
Yes.
And letting go of this idea. Mm. Letting go of this idea of being perfect, or letting go of this idea about all of the pressure to have the perfect Christmas, because a lot of people have real life struggles and worries as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas can be a very lonely time for people, Laura.
Yeah, definitely.
People that have experienced loss, people that are experiencing grief, and you know, the memory of their absence at Christmas time can be very, very, very hard.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we never really do appreciate or know just what's going on in somebody else's head. So sometimes reaching out and being there for others can be a really, really good thing to do.
Great advice. Now, the next one I think a lot of people will resonate with, especially I definitely will resonate with this all year round, not just Christmas, and that is distracted eating. It's almost unavoidable, you say, and it's so true. Phones, notifications, the telly. Why is this something to try and avoid, especially over Christmas, Dr. Mark?
I think this is a fairly new phenomenon. Mm. This didn't exist when I was a young fella growing up, because mm-hmm. there was no phones. But really, I suppose in the last 15 years, mobile phones, people have their phones everywhere. And what's interesting is the neuroscience behind this, which shows that an important part of eating, the process of eating, is our brain paying attention to what's actually going into our mouth.
Okay.
And if we're distracted, in other words, if you're on your TikTok or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
you really aren't counting what you're eating. So you don't register as being as full.
Okay.
So research has shown actually you're more likely to overeat at that meal itself
mm-hmm.
if you're distracted. And also you'll overeat later on.
Okay.
Because your brain hasn't registered you as having had enough. So that's this idea of distracted eating, and getting back to this idea of mindful eating,
mm-hmm.
which is a very, very simple concept of when you're eating, eat. Mm-hmm. So put away the phones, and whoever you're with, you know, engage in conversation and to try and be more present during your eating experiences. And that can really help for all sorts of obvious reasons.
And especially at this time of year. And you also say to avoid, which I am terrible for as well, the all or nothing attitude that we take at Christmas. The real I'll be good in inverted commas on January 1st. And I suppose that's not great for us in both a mood situation, but also that we really are going hell for leather at Christmas time.
Well, I think the important thing to say as a doctor is that Christmas can be a wonderful season for celebration and for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to hear messages of, oh, you can't have this or you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to be one of those. But what I would say is, if you could have a moderation type approach to Christmas, and also to your plans for the new year, don't expect perfection at Christmas, and don't expect perfection on January the 1st either.
Right.
Because all it does, it just makes you feel worse.
Totally.
In yourself. So, you know, there's so much you can do to stay relatively healthy through the Christmas period. There's new research showing that going for a walk, going for as little as a 10-minute walk after a meal, is a great way to boost your metabolism and allow you to, you know, burn up that meal much more effectively and boost your energy and so on. So short little walks, getting outdoors in nature. You know, we've got beautiful nature areas like Mount Congreve Gardens
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the nature park on our Tremor, whatever, on our doorstep. If we get out and enjoy them.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the best things in Christmas could be just good conversations.
Well,
with
exactly. Some great advice there, hopefully to help people avoid the stress that can come with Christmas and bring some balance and gratitude and joy into our lives over the next few weeks. That is Dr. Mark Rowe. And the great thing about Dr. Mark is he puts all this advice on his website. If you want to head over to it, it's drmarkrowe.com. Mark, have a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy all the walking and eating and chilling out and all those things that you advised for us. Thank you so much. Great advice as usual. I'm sure I'll talk to you in the new year.
Look forward to that, Orla. All the best. Bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Look to Emily Miller, who is the marketing manager of Pet Mania. And we were thinking about Christmas presents for your pampered pooch or your beloved cat or even your most adored mouse in your life. Yes, pets really do deserve a Christmas present as well. So Emily's going to give us some tips, aren't you, Emily?
Yeah, delighted to be here and having a conversation about Christmas presents. They're
good
really,
to talk
really
to
exciting.
You again. And of course, Pet Mania isn't just in Clonmel, but today is a special day for them because it's their first birthday.
Exactly. Yeah, we have 17 stores across the country, which is brilliant, and then our .ie as well. So delivering. Gifts all across the country this Christmas as well. So it's really exciting.
Excellent stuff. Now, do you find that more and more people are buying Christmas presents for their pets?
Oh, absolutely. And why wouldn't you? You know, our pets are such an important part of our families, and it's really important that we engage them and involve them in what's going on. You know, nobody wants to be sitting there watching everybody else opening presents and not getting any themselves. So it's really nice to involve your pet. And also there's some, you know, there's practical parts to it as well, like that, you know, if you're Christmas morning and your dog is there and they're watching you opening all their presents and they're going, oh, well, there's a little bit of something I could sniff into, or there's some wrapping paper that I could stick my head in, or a box of chocolates that maybe I might have a little nibble on.
That would be terrible.
Actually, you know what, having a gift for your pet, having a new toy, having a new treat for them that'll, you know, keep them involved but in a safe, pet-friendly way is a really important thing that we do as well.
So what sort of stuff have you got for dogs, for example?
For dogs, oh my goodness, we have so many different things. So it depends on what your dog's into. So we've loads of toys.
Okay.
So toys are really great. And again, it's about what kind of play does your dog like? Are they real interactive? Do they like, you know, are they ball fiends? Do they just love a new ball and they're happy out? Are they real chewers? Are you looking for something that maybe you can stuff with some treats or with their food to maybe distract them a little bit and provide a little bit of mental stimulation?
Yes.
Loads of, you know, those loads of both Christmas themed toys, really exciting ones. We've got lovely Santa Snuffle plush toy. He's got a snuffle belly so you can hide the treats in.
Oh,
and sniff
I'm gonna
them
get
out.
That's a great one for my dog, actually.
Brilliant, lovely one. We've got some really, you know, sort of interactive, you know, press here and release a treat or press here and release a toy.
I tried that with mine. That didn't work, yes.
You know, there's rope toys for dogs that love to tug. So loads of different options. So it's about what's your dog's play style? What do they like? Guaranteed, yeah, we will have something that they love.
Okay.
And so, you know, really nice stocking fillers. You've got your squeakies. You've got, you know, your plush then are also really good. So if you've got a dog that loves to snuggle up and loves their plush toy and their teddy bears, got some really great Rudolphs and Santa Clauses and things as well.
They
all do different things. So again, it's about understanding your dog's play. How do they like to play? How do they like to interact? And how do you like to interact with them as well? So loads of different options.
Okay. That's a good one.
So
and
toy,
the Snuffle is a great
toy
one.
Toy top of the list.
Okay,
new toy top of the list.
And the Snuffle is a great idea because it keeps them occupied as well as they're trying to get. I see you have one here on the website and it's a little penguin and you put it in there in the stocking that the penguin is holding. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it gives them something to do, stuff it in there, it keeps them occupied, gives them a reason to get interested in it. And it's like, okay, right, this is going to entertain them, take up a little bit of time, distract them from, you know,
doing
bold things that they shouldn't be doing, sticking their head in the box of Quality Street or something.
Now, are cats harder, Emily, to buy for? Are cats the men of the pet world?
I don't think so. Again, it's about knowing your cat and knowing what they like. You know, toys are great. Again, you know, and knowing what kind of play styles, if they're real hunters, they'll really love that kind of catch a mouse toy. There's lots of different options in toys. Other things that your cat would really love, maybe somewhere to hide away because Christmas is very busy, so they might like a new hide. Got some lovely, we have a lovely Santa hat shaped cat bed that they can snuggle into.
Gorgeous.
It's festive. It's really gorgeous. And they can go in there and retreat from all the festivities.
Brilliant.
You know, other things that, you know, if you really want to invest and give your cat something really special, we've got some gorgeous cat trees, some climbing frames, so, you know, a lovely piece of statement furniture for your home almost, but for your cat. And they can, you know, they've got different levels and different beds and places that they can hang out and retreat to. And brilliant as well if you've got a multi-cat household. So they've got, might save your Christmas
idea.
Tree, give them something else to climb up.
Exactly, because I'm sure they're eyeing it up already. So that is a good idea.
Yeah, and really, really lovely. So, you know, definitely a new toy, maybe a new bed or a new place to climb or and play and rest would be up there on the list of things to consider. Treats then, so your festive treats, we've got some really lovely, we've got mince pies for our dogs, we've got truffles, we've got all of what you might perceived to be human treats available, but they're all pet safe, free from chocolate, free from things like raisins, which would be heavy in your human Christmas cakes and okay. Christmas puddings and things, but are quite toxic to our dogs and cats. So, you know, we've got those novelty treats, I suppose, and those real special occasion treats, some lovely options available for those.
Great
again
stuff.
All pet safe and, you know, not going to cause you to have to take an emergency trip to
on
the
Christmas
vet on
night.
Christmas
that
Day.
Zero crack. Okay, some great
other
advice
thing
there.
That we
go on.
Strongly recommend everybody stock up on is a tummy settler just in case.
Okay.
So, you know, a couple of different options available, but again, something that just on the off chance that they do maybe ingest, overindulge a little bit, there are things that you can get that you can maybe just a little supplement that can settle the tummy.
Okay.
And
you can get that in Petmania, can you?
You can pop into the guys in store and we'll sort you out. We have a couple of different options available. Other things then from a healthcare perspective, you know, if it is very busy, maybe your pet does get quite anxious and stressed, there are calming aids that are available. Lots of different options again, depending on what your dog or cat might need. So pop in if they, you know, stock up, get them now, have them ready, have them there. If you know, they're sitting in the first aid box, if you like, that they're ready to go.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah,
Emily.
And then
lots of options.
So loads
there.
Of things, loads of options, food, treats, and then the other thing as well for the pet lover in your life. If you're looking for a stocking filler, we've got some really lovely gifts for humans this year. We've got some lovely mugs, we've got drinks bottles,
lovely.
You know, it's lovely little animal prints on them, but also Pet Mania gift voucher, you can't go wrong.
Brilliant stuff, well done. Well, you are in 17 locations, you know your stuff, but in the southeast, you're in Wexford Town, in Clonard Retail Park, in Waterford, in Carlow, Kilkenny, and of course Clonmel, where it is your first birthday today, and that's where Old School Sunday will be from 12 p.m. We're heading towards that time now, as will the Audi A1 Beat Fleet, and they'll be there celebrating along with Pet Mania in Clonmel as they celebrate their first birthday. Petmania.ie, of course, if you're not anywhere near Pet Mania and you want to have a look at some of those brilliant present suggestions. And that is Emily Miller, she's the marketing manager for Pet Mania. Thanks a million, Emily.
No worries. Thank you so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, this is Beat and it's movie time and he has returned.
Yay.
There he is.
Woo.
My one and only. I missed you. Sorry, Odrin.
Yeah, that's my one and only. It's like Odrin has replaced me the last few weeks. That's fair. I'll tell him that. Yeah, that's grand.
Odrin is my number two.
Okay.
Poor old Odrin. Well, I'm sure you've spoken to lots of people on air about your holidays, have you?
No.
Because you really did a big, you squashed a lot into your 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, because everyone was, I feel like, asking me how was the holidays? And I like, because I'm like, I went to London, Bangkok, Manila, Istanbul and Greece. And they're like, oh, how'd you get on? I was like, yeah, it's good, yeah. And like, what did you do? I was like, I just kind of hung out and got food and stuff.
Yeah, but like, did you go to well-known fast food joints and had the like Thai version of I love stuff like that.
I had spag ball in KFC in, wow, in Manila.
What's that about?
And I had all the different random things. Yeah, yeah. No, I did. I went to every takeaway and got all the random stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And sure, did you choose all those places because of flight prices, or were they all the places you wanted to go to?
I'll be honest, when in one of the spots, we went to Istanbul.
Okay.
And I met my friend from home over there. Big right. Shout out Ryan. And we arrived, and like I got to the hotel, and we like, because I arrived like 6 a.m. Like we went back to sleep. We woke up at like 11.
Mm.
We woke up and we looked up, we chat GPT, what do you do in Istanbul? I didn't know what like
and
currency
what
they used. I didn't know like what language they spoke. I didn't know what was there. All I knew was kebabs. And like there was Fenerbahce, Galatasaray and Besiktas are in Istanbul.
What's that?
Soccer teams.
Okay.
I didn't know anything else.
So you didn't go to like a Turkish bath?
There was one stage where a fellow was suggesting that we go to a Turkish bath. He's like, no, we got like the Turkish. We got actually like got, went to, just roamed around. I ate 5 kebabs in 2 days. And that was honestly, like, that was the highlight of that. I got attacked by a seagull. But a lot of it was just like chilling out and
stuff
like,
that you could do at home in the southeast, really, if you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but like that's how I describe it. It's just myself and my friends that
eating
I would normally
kebabs.
Hang out with. Just hung out and got food and went for a walk.
And I'm sure the humidity was worse than it would be in the southeast.
It was like 31 degrees in, wow, in Manila. Wow. So to come back and have to wear like a hoodie again was like, to get used to it again.
What a well-travelled man. When people ask Brian where he's from, he says, the world.
Well, I kept getting told that, like, no, like, we were going up to people and they were like, oh, where are you from? And they're like, Ireland. It's like, oh, I wouldn't have guessed that. One guy thought I was Australian. Another fella said I looked Dutch. And I was like, okay.
Stereotypes, the blonde hair.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll take it, though. Like, yeah, I think the accent isn't very Irish, you see.
Ah, Brian.
No, but
what
apparently not. Apparently
about?
It sounds kind of American. That's what I got told. So.
Okay, let's do movies. And this week's movie is like so Christmassy. It's off the charts.
Yeah, yeah.
Supernatural horror. 5 Nights at Freddy's 2.
It's so funny because, you know, I never go to horror movies. I never care for
them.
Yeah,
they make you laugh.
I was very excited for this one.
But I seem to remember you really liking the first one.
Yeah, well, I see, the thing is, the whole thing is based on games, and the games got big because of YouTubers.
Okay.
There's one YouTuber especially called MatPat on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's actually quite fun because he made a cameo in the first movie. And then he voiced one of the animatronics in the second movie.
Wow, okay.
So it's a really nice thing because the fellow who made the games also wrote the movie.
Okay.
And that meant the lore was both accurate, but also the things that made the games great and famous were appreciated. And like a lot of details were bang on, like, you know.
Okay, will we listen to a clip?
Okay.
Let's do it.
So this is what it's like? Being normal?
I think we've come pretty far, considering what we've been through.
How's Abby?
Some days she's good. Some days she misses her friends.
This story that you're gonna fix those animatronics, it's only giving her false hope.
Can any of you hear me?
Abby. Abby. Help us. Come find us. I will show you the way.
Oh no.
There you go, that is 5 Nights at Freddy's 2. Sum this up, because I got a real jump scare out there in the office. So much so that I think I...
From the trailer. Hilarious.
Yeah, I actually had a silent jump scare because I had headphones on. And I said to Dana beside me, did I scream there? And she said, no, you just jumped out of your seat.
That's so funny. Yeah, I know. It's a game that was famous for its jump scares.
Okay.
And the movie is full of them.
And, you know, there's something really eerie about a teddy bearish looking horror thing.
Yeah, it's like essentially the whole animatronic. So like the things that were like the mechanical type
it's
things.
It's kind of a bit Chucky's doll type stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's spooky, but I just don't feel like it's scary enough to be like properly scary. Like it was scary in the moment, but won't leave you terrified leaving the cinema kind of a vibe. But I did go with one of my friends and she jumped every time there was a jump scare, and that brought me much enjoyment.
So tell me a bit of the backstory and where we are at number two.
Okay, so Freddy Fazbear's Pizza is the name of the like restaurant chain where these animatronics were.
Okay. Yep.
Then, so this guy called William Afton was the fellow who designed them. And basically he would kill children and put their bodies into the suits.
Oh, that's awful.
It's not great now.
No.
I wouldn't recommend it. Don't try it at home, I would say.
Okay.
And then the souls of those children then would get trapped within the animatronics.
Oh, this is really eerie.
And then they would haunt the places and attack people. But then this little girl, this is the first movie now, that this little girl went to the place, made friends with the children, like the souls of the children, and then like she had this attachment to it, but like they were trying to kill her brother and stuff. It was a whole thing. But the father, the William Afton, the guy, was like terrorizing this whole thing, but he got murdered at the end of the first one because his body got like trapped in one of the suits.
Okay, full circle.
Yes. So the second one starts off that there was the original location, the first location where this thing called a mannequin was, and a child died there and her soul was trapped in the soul of the mannequin.
Okay.
And the mannequin is kind of spooky, but it, like, there's just another location people go to.
So it's
they're
the same.
Attacking the thing. It's the same vibe. You know, like, there's, I don't want to spoil stuff, but like, there's people helping the animatronics trying to get towards. And like get revenge for the people that were wronging them before.
Okay.
And it's like, it's not crazy intense, but it's actually quite a simple movie to follow. It's like the animatronics are trying to kill them. They're trying to get away.
And there's just something so eerie about that whole story set up that it's perfect horror almost. Or is it? Is perfect too big a word for it?
Ah, like it's a fun movie. It's the kind of like, do you know the way sometimes you watch these movies and it's like, it's to get to the core of you to really shake you. It's like, this one's to make you go, ah, and then your friends laugh at you for jumping. It's like,
and did you ever jump?
No.
Not at all. Is that just you determined not to jump while inside you're crying?
No, but I wouldn't really get scared by them. I always kind of anticipate them coming because you can, like, it normally goes silent and there's like people looking around. It's like, you know, a jump scare is going to come.
Okay.
And like when you know it's going to come and it pops out, you're like, there you are. Every now and again, like not in this movie, sometimes you watch a movie and there's just a jump scare that out of nowhere and I'd be like, okay, you got me.
You got me.
But I didn't get gotten this.
Okay. Any recognisable faces in Five Nights at Freddy's?
So it's an interesting thing because there's like well-known names, but I wouldn't say they're like A-list names.
Okay.
So Josh Hutcherson, who was Peeta in Hunger Games, I'd say.
Yes.
But also he's been in things like Zathura is one I always remember him for. But he's been in a load of things. Always a solid guy. He was in the first one as well. Matthew Lillard.
Nope.
He played Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movies.
Okay.
That's how I would see him. He was also in Scream, the original Scream, where he was a serial killer. And that, spoilers, if you haven't seen the movie that came out in like 1999. And then the other, McKenna Grace, you'd recognize her. She's in a load of stuff.
Okay.
And then Wayne Knight. Do you know who Wayne Knight is? So he's the guy that was in Jurassic Park that gets killed when he's sitting on the toilet. And he's also in like Seinfeld and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's like, I know these people, but like they wouldn't be like the names, like the animatronics, the actual Five Nights at Freddy's brand is bigger than the names. Actually, one of the animatronics is voiced by Megan Fox. Which is crazy. I didn't see that till the
and
credits.
And a man called Matt Pat as well.
Matt Pat, that's the YouTuber. That's the YouTuber that I said it was big and he
Matt
had a camel.
Matt Pat. I made that sound so fancy.
Matthew Patrick is actually his name.
Matt Pat. Yeah. Will you black pudding it for me, please? Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
I would say it's about like, I want to say an 8 out of 10, but I feel like it's a 7 out of 10. But you know what? I think it's happy to be a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
It's made to be a movie that you just enjoy, but it doesn't want to like scare you.
Okay.
It just wants to like be a fun little time, do you know?
Yeah.
Hence why it comes out just before Christmas rather, like just before like Halloween. It's there to be watched
with your friends
rather than to be scaring you.
True. Sorry, what did you say, black pudding wise? 7?
7.36.
Oh, here we go again. 7.36 black puddings out of 10. We're just going to go with that because he's back and I missed him. And he's brought nothing for me.
Yeah, and I was going to lie and say that I got her something. We were going to do a bit where I'd say that I got her something.
You didn't say you didn't get me something. You said you got me a magnet, but you left it at home.
I did get her a magnet, but I left it at home. It's in a bag of magnets that I got.
Okay,
from Thailand.
Nothing will ever beat the massive Clonakilty black
pudding. That's what I was thinking. I literally was thinking about that. That was very funny.
That was brilliant.
Good bit from me.
In the meantime, 7.36 puddings out of 10 for Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Chat to you later.
Bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.